send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
Trying to find Daniel Winnick. He's going to get to it before icing can be called. Centers in front of the net. They score! David Clarkson! Mind the gap!
Great play by Daniel Winnick, setting up David Clarkson a minute 29 in the game for the first Leaf goal. That set the tone tonight for a 5-2 victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning here at Air Canada Centre. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you. We've got a whole lot coming on over the next couple of hours. We'll hear from head coach Randy Carlyle. We'll hear from many of the Maple Leaf players in a much more, I would think, upbeat Maple Leaf dressing room. And certainly the controversies of 48 hours go to the back burner for now as the Maple Leafs respond in, well, the fashion you wanted to, Ozzie, in the 5-2 win tonight.
Well, absolutely, Gordon. You mentioned the David Clarkson goal just a minute and some odd into that first period. That goal was going to be so, so important on both ends of the equation. Whether Tampa Bay scored, you could probably feel that the Maple Leafs would have tightened up. The fans would have gotten on them, but yet it worked the opposite way. They score the first goal, and lo and behold, I thought they played a lot more relaxed game. They certainly worked harder. There was some jam, some bite, some jumping on the loose pucks and all the things I think that are required that the Maple Leafs needed to do in order to compete with this first-place team in Tampa Bay. I felt Tampa Bay was a little bit off on the other end of things, and yet give the Maple Leafs a lot of credit. I think this was a win they certainly did deserve and took advantage of things certainly in that second period.
And, of course, welcome our Leafs Nation postgame callers at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. One little quirky thing, and I'll see if it gets brought up or not at all. At the end of the game, the Leafs traditionally do that salute to the fans where they skate to center ice slowly and lift their stick up. And I noticed one or two players, I may have just directing them to leave the ice, and they left the ice without doing it, which is the first time I haven't seen it here at Air Canada Center. I don't know if that was their subtle or not so subtle message to the fans for what they haven't appreciated in the past. They've done all their media required. All three stars came out, gave the stick to the fans. James Van Riemsdyk did a speech. We had Daniel Winnick on the first intermission. I see Cody Francis doing some TV. I hope I didn't see what I think I see. I know it's a little thing, but I hope that wasn't the case.
Yeah, you know what? You focus on those things, and I tend to focus on exactly the X's and O's and the execution on the ice and what's going on with the players. So, you know, I know this is a thing that the players do after home wins, probably everywhere,
every
right?
Well,
everywhere, every time. And, yes, I think it's to be noted.
Yeah,
and
I'll find out if someone gets asked about it. That's all. We'll ask Chris Johnson a little later. That kind of note.
Keep it positive now. Stay positive,
I'm keeping it very, very positive. We actually, at the end, before we get a call on, even a humorous but unorthodox play that Tampa's down by 3 goals. And all
it's
of a sudden,
4.5 minutes
yeah,
left, right?
And they pull their goalie. People didn't face off in the Leaf zone. And then all of a sudden, the fans realized, we all realized, the goalie had been pulled. 3-goal lead. And they played, and they kept putting him back in, Ben Bishop. And then they cut it to 4-2. And then they got him out again. And with seconds left, because they had that cushion, Roman Polak was able to, Bozak won the faceoff. Polak, an icing play that if it was a 1-goal difference, you never do in a million years. But he couldn't have wired that any better, almost end-to-end for the empty netter.
Yeah, you know what? Interesting enough that Stamkos was able to get on the scoreboard there when it was 4-1 and make it 4-2. And, you know, Dion maybe a little bit passive and standing around on that Stamkos goal. And then I took note of, you know, who was going to be out there the last minute and change, and it happened to be Cody Franson and Roman Polak, who gets the fifth in, you know, eventual game ender goal, so to speak. But, you know, again, if that's the way that Randy was basically looking at it and say, no, we expect more, you know, good on Randy Carlyle to, in fact, maybe sit as captain down the last minute of play.
Let's hear what Martin in Brampton has to say. Martin, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame.
I'd just like to say great win for the Leafs tonight, great bounce back. And I think the bounce back is all because of two players, James Van Riemsdyk, who had 2 goals, and his second goal was a beauty, and Jonathan Bernie, who really stuck out for us tonight and was the best player like we expect him to be. And I think those couple of saves he made in the last 2 or 3 minutes really just, you know, got us the win. And I think, you know, great effort by the whole team, man. You know, goalies go.
Yeah, shots were 28-21 Tampa. So under that 30-shot mark, which Randy Carlyle likes to see, I thought the Leafs had outplayed the Tampa Bay Lightning, Aussie, for a considerable chunk of the game. But at the end, pulling Ben Bishop seemed to have the Leafs a little bit retreating. That was the most hectic action. That's when Bernier, who was the second starter tonight, came up with some big saves.
Yeah, Gordy, you know, if we take a look at the entirety of the game, and certainly getting that first Clarkson goal was key, and then the turnover by Jay Gardner while on the power play. So now you breed a little life back into Tampa Bay towards the end of that first period. And how is the team going to react for the second period? And duly noted, I think the Leafs now lead the league with 27 second period goals. So second periods have been very good for the Maple Leafs. And a bad, bad turnover by the Lightning defenseman Matt Carl, I think doing his best Jay Gardner impression there. Ponick takes advantage of it. And again, that's a momentum builder for the Maple Leafs, where you get the lead now, you start feeling good about yourself. And then, of course, JVR with two goals in that period, his eighth and ninth of the season. And interesting, and I know we mentioned it in between periods, but Randy decided to go power against power. And I was wondering how that was going to play out tonight, the Stamkos line against the Bozak line, and decided to trade chances, and the Leafs come out the better of the two teams as far as head-to-head goes.
A little bit note being made that Steve Stamkos seemed to get injured about the second or so shift he played in the first period. Labored a bit going to the bench, and some people wondering if that might have led to a bit of an off game for him tonight after having a hat trick last time. 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Now, Steve in Nashville. Steve, have you been on hold for 48 hours since the game 2 days ago?
Well, I think the team was on hold before the game, guys.
That's right.
48 hours, the way they played. You know, this is one of these moments as a Leaf fan where I get really frustrated. The other day we had to listen to Dave Nonis say, we need perspective. And the team just 8 days ago against the Bruins was great. So let me provide some perspective the other way. This was a Lightning team playing their third game in four nights on the road without Victor Hedman. And it's not like this was a dominant performance by the team. It's one win against a travel-weary team. And until we see this team show any kind of consistency at all, nothing has changed. We've just got one win. So as excited as many people may want to be about this, I think we need to keep this win just as much in perspective as we would a loss, especially one coming off a 9-2 loss against Nashville.
Well, Steve, you're like the guy at our party talking politics and religion all of a sudden.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of reality, but that's where we're at. You know, this is a team that it's the only thing consistent about it is its inconsistency. So until we see otherwise, it's just here we go again. You know, we're on the way up the roller coaster, and then we'll be down the roller coaster.
Okay, so Ozzy, I think fair game in the sense that if we're talking perspective the other way, Steve, who I think could have another beverage from our little cocktail bar here, is talking about, but that's the part of being a Leaf fan, whether you're in Nashville or anywhere else like Steve is, about, well, he's got perspective, but the highs and lows of game to game.
You know what, and he has every right to say that, and there would be no reason to think anything different than what he has described, because we've been part and parcel of witnessing this for long periods of time. And so while this is a good effort by the Maple Leafs, I think what Steve is trying to say, okay, now let's see it continue against Detroit on Saturday night and then into Pittsburgh next week and hopefully build with a little bit of confidence. And yet there's a lot of doubters out there that saying that they can't sustain this because of, you know, the obvious, a lack of character, leadership, whatever the situation may be. And Tampa, third game in four nights. Sometimes I really don't buy that argument. You know, the fact is they went into New York, the Rangers. They handily beat them 5-1. I mean, this is Ryan Callahan returning to New York with two goals. They played Long Island the next night, and they put up a bad game, right? But you have time in between games before you come in here. I don't necessarily think that they were that tired against the Maple Leafs.
Leo's in Kitchener. Leo, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good talking to you guys again. And I got to say it, Steve, was it from Nashville?
Well, he's a Leaf fan in Nashville.
That? Sorry, what was it?
He's a Leaf fan in Nashville.
Yeah, and his name was Steve. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, it sounds like he's not having too much fun watching the Leafs. Because you know something? When we're not with it or we're missing a couple players and then we get beaten up or whatever, it's because of that. No, well, no. You know, this is the way the game went tonight. For whatever reason, Tampa Bay was off their game, for if some may call it that. But I see it as we stuck with it. Whatever we were covering, we played the assignments, except for the last 4 minutes or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Just going to got Jonathan Bernier and Jeans Van Riemsdyk at the podium now talking to the media.
Last couple of days to come up with a win tonight.
Yeah, I think it was a good response for us. I mean, when things aren't going well in this city, you got a lot of overanalyzing going on. So I think it was nice for us to kind of put that little streak or whatever you want to call it, that of bad play behind us, and now we have to just build on this and try to find some consistency.
Same question to you, John.
I thought we played well. Our mentality tonight was just to battle, I guess, and that was our main focus, keep 25 shots and under against us, and we're pretty close to that. I thought we played a very solid game.
James, have you figured out a way to block out all that noise in the city?
Well, coming from a market like Philly, there's some very passionate fans there as well, so you learn some lessons over the years I played there, and I don't really let anything faze me as far as stuff like that. I mean, I know there's going to be again, you got the most passionate fans in the world here. A lot of coverage for our team, so you know there's going to be a lot of people giving their 2 cents, deserved or not. So we just got to be ready to just not worry about that and worry about what we're doing in there.
James, was there a sense of urgency that was based on those previous 2 games?
Well, again, we weren't happy with the way we played, but I think again, when you're playing smart, you can work smarter too. So you don't have to start running around out there and. Again, we've talked about working harder, but I think, again, it comes down to working smarter. And when you know you're going to play smart, it makes the game a lot easier.
Jonathan, the team has got much better results so far this year, holding leads in the third period. In your eyes, what's been the difference this year over last?
Yeah, you're right. I think we just keep it simple. We keep our forecheck going, I think. And that's a big reason why we can spend some time in their zone and kill some time. Because if you just back in your zone, that's when they're gonna get a lot of shots. And obviously we're trying to cover that middle as well. And we did a pretty good job considering we were short a guy for over 5 minutes. So that was pretty good.
How did that feel over 5 minutes of 6-on-5?
Got the lungs going.
Anything else, guys?
Je pense à ce soir, tout le monde était sur la même page. On a travaillé.
Again, 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Jonathan Bernier talking right now, obviously answering a French reporter's question. And James Van Riemsdyk also there on the podium. They were the first two stars, JVR 1, Jonathan Bernier 2. So that's the end of their press conference. A lot more positive. We'll come back. Randy Carlisle will be on the podium pretty soon. Gord Stelnick, Mark Osborne with you. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan.
Let's go!
Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcasts at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. The game may end, but the analysis never will. Now, Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stelic and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Randy Carlisle, podium here. Let's go straight down here from the Maple Leaf head coach.
Or to the structure that's required. And we seem to be a lot more relaxed for whatever reason. Those three things were the things that were most prominent. And we scored early in the hockey game to give ourselves a little bit more of a feel-good story too, you know?
When you didn't score on the 2-on-0 and they came down and scored shorthanded thereafter, were you on the bench thinking, here we go again?
Yeah, there was a few more words than here we go again. It was not polite. But, you know, again, those are the things, that's the ebbs and flows of the game, and it was great to see, you know, Richard Panik come in and, you know, make a contribution from our fourth line. They ground the, you know, some shifts out for us. You know, the one thing that we tried to, and our goal was tonight to not allow 25 shots or less. And I think we allowed 28. And really, we would have reached the 25 if we don't, if they don't score the late goal, and they pull their goalie at 5 minutes left, and you know that put the pressure on us. But again, we persevered and we stuck it out. We found a way to win a game.
Randy, what did you like about the Bozak matchup with Stamkos?
Oh, Bozy was dynamite in the face-off circle, and I think that really starts when you can match up against players like Stamkos. If they don't start with the puck, it's an advantage to you. Simple as that. And if you can start with the puck, and I think Bozak after two periods was something like 75%. He was 15 of 20 in the face-off circle.
Did we get a good idea of what JVR can do in terms of the two goals, whether it be off the rush or in tight?
Yeah, you know, JVR, he's a big guy that, you know, he has this knack around the net. He can find the upper top of the net from in close, and, you know, he got his big body moving down the wing, and they couldn't catch him, and he put a pretty good shot in the top corner over Bishop's glove, and there's not a lot of net when you come down the wing and see that big guy in the net.
Randy, the last time Stamkos played here, he scored 3 goals and had a lot of chances in the game. Tonight, you seemed to take away his time and space. Was that something that you instructed the players to do?
Well, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that if you don't cover one of the best players in the league, they have multiple ways of hurting you. And I thought with the Bozak matchup that when we started that way, our plan was is that we were going to have a two-pronged attack, that if Bozak's line was faltering or it was, we were going to go to a second option. And we didn't feel that we needed that after the 10-minute mark of the first period. We felt we were getting what we necessarily needed from the Bozak line.
It was a play Santorelli made in the first period on your goal line. Mm-hmm. The puck was coming across. It looked like they were going to score. It got in the way and then knocked the guy over.
Right.
It's the kind of thing that hasn't been happening, per se.
For sure. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on the ice that you have no explanation for. But tonight, all of those things didn't have an effect on the outcome of the hockey game. And sometimes you have to, again, accept that the hockey gods are going to be against you. And that's what we believed the other night. It was nine goals, and we were embarrassed by it, and there was nothing we could do to take it back. But we sure didn't want for something bad to happen to our hockey club tonight. And I think they were rewarded with their hard work.
Randy, have you gone through a wild roller coaster ride like you've seen this season before? I mean, questions about job security the last 2 days and now a win against one of the
best. Yeah, just there's not as many of you as asking tonight as there was the last two nights. I'd want to make note of that. Where are they?
The diehards are here.
Yeah, you know, it's, as I stated before, the ebbs and flows of hockey life in a market like this and the passion that's demonstrated is all part of it. If you're not prepared to live some of it, you're in the wrong business. You'll go crazy.
Flows. Is that something you want to limit from the team?
We'd love to be able to be more consistent, for sure. That's a goal that we've set out. And, you know, and tonight was hopefully a starting point for us. By no means do we think we're over the hump. We're going to play a Detroit Red Wing hockey club that really dominated us the last time they were in this building. And I think we went to Detroit and we lost in a shootout. Or 10 seconds left, you know, on a tough play. So, you know, that we owe them. And that was our message after the game, that our preparation starts now for Saturday.
Probably no morning skate Saturday?
They had optional written on the board when I got in there, but I told them they got a better chance of seeing the big guy than that happening. You know?
Thanks, Randy.
All right.
11 o'clock tomorrow, MCC, guys.
Well, there we go. Randy Carlisle. I get a 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you.
Where do you want to go, Gord? You want to ask me a question, or do you want me to comment on Randy's presser or JVR? Where would you like me to go?
I'll tell you what we're going to do, because we're going to get Chris Johnson in a bit. Before we go to break, though, Tip Top Tailors, of course, the player of the game, is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop. Ozzy, who do you pick as the player of the game?
You know what? One of the songs that resonates in me, oh, where has your baby been, right? Or JVR been?
Where has your baby been? I didn't know that song.
Well, okay,
that's
Gord,
a song,
I'll explain it to you off air, but nonetheless, James Van Riemsdyk with two goals in that,
that part I get.
Second period gets the Tip Top player of the game as selected by yours truly and personally.
Okay, we'll talk a little more music, JVR, and hockey when we come back. A 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Because seriously, when's the last time you were sober enough to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to listen live? Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Onto the swing to Kessel. The snapshot is on. There's a rebound. Scores! James Van Riemsdyk! What a pair of Angora mittens on that guy.
Second of two goals for James Van Riemsdyk tonight in a 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Joe Bowen with the call. And that is the play that every little boy and girl is trying to do, the JVR. Not many have the hands he does to flip them up like he did over Ben Bishop on the rebound from Phil Kessel. Again, 5-2, the Leafs beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne at a very empty Air Canada center here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. So wait, you said, what was the song you said?
Well, where, oh, where can my baby be?
So it's
where, oh, where can my JVR be? How about that?
But it's the other song, where's my baby gone, isn't it? She's gone to heaven. And
yeah, that's it. That's the same song,
Gord. I know. Just different. That's it. I got it.
Anyways.
Now. I got the oldies, but we'll leave the oldies for now. We'll talk current as Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining us. Don't worry, Chris. We won't talk music with you. We'll talk hockey and certainly a great win for the Maple Leafs that they needed. Give them full marks. It certainly wasn't the best Tampa Bay team we've seen either.
No, you know, I thought it was a pretty flat effort from Tampa, especially, you know, at the end of a road trip. But, you know, it's kind of understandable that the clunkers happen from time to time. Although, you know, for them, they have their own alarm after losing by a couple goals the other night in Long Island and then losing here tonight. Just a reminder that you know, this isn't the only city, I guess, or the only team where the performances go up and down a little bit. But, you know, for the Leafs, really a chance, I think, to hit the pressure relief valve a little bit. It was, I thought it was a complete effort, and they were certainly full value for the victory here tonight.
Yeah, you know what? It was going to be interesting, Chris? Certainly after David Clarkson scored, you could feel that, there's a little bit of sigh of relief. And then the Jake Gardner giveaway on the Killorn goal, and how would the Leafs react in that second period? But I think a giveaway by Matt Carl and that fine effort by Richard Ponick was something, again, that seemed to spur the Leafs on in that second period where they scored three goals to lead 4-1 after two periods.
Exactly, yeah. And that was the biggest difference, obviously, that middle frame where they got the three goals and made it, you know, for a comfortable third, although I guess the tempo was buzzing around pretty good there with the goalie out for the last 5.5 minutes. But, you know, tonight I really thought it was, you know, the Leafs' best players, the guys you would expect, especially at a moment like this, that need to step up and make a difference. And, you know, James Van Riemsdyk and Phil Kessel, I thought both had very strong games. Obviously, JVR with the two goals, contributed in that way. But they were dangerous all night, and then they were, you know, causing a lot of turnovers from Tampa. And I think, you know, that's a big reason why that this one went a little bit better, as those guys were able to be difference makers, which they're paid to do.
And a guy like Dion Phaneuf, I thought, had a strong game as well, which is nice to see. And then a little, I would say, levity, but a guy like Roman Pollock with the two-goal lead and the goaltender pulled was able to get an end-to-end empty netter, which he seems to be a pretty popular guy or a popular goal there. Is John Cooper, is he a guy that does this quite a bit? Patrick Waugh made a staple of it, pulling the goaltender early with multiple goal deficits. It seemed to catch everybody, the fans and everybody else, a bit by surprise.
Yeah, John's definitely someone who ascribes to that thinking. You know, I'm not sure if he's ever done it with that much time left. It was a little over 5:30 left when Ben Bishop first came out. He did go back in for a little stretch there, you know, after Stamkos scored to make it 4-2 at the time. But, you know, this is kind of a new way of thinking or a new way of looking at it. You know, I know Dallas Eakins and Edmonton ascribes to this, that the percentages say you actually have a better chance of coming back and getting a goal with the goalie out, even though there's an obvious risk there, and until there was, you know, less than 10 seconds left in the game, the Leafs didn't score with the goalie out for 5 minutes. So, you know, that kind of bears it out a little bit. It was 1-1, if you will, with no goalie in. So, you know, I can understand
you're in a desperate situation. You know, your team didn't play well, and you're trying to get everyone's attention. And, you know, my goodness, they had some really good chances, including one that went off Dion Phaneuf's skate, or else they might have made it 4-3, and then it would have been very interesting.
Chris, one of the obvious things in the game tonight, it's puck possession, and I thought the Leafs were excellent in winning faceoffs, and in particular their top two guys. I mean, Tyler Bozak was 22-8, and Nazem Kadri was 9-3. So between the two of them combined, 31-11. And when you start with the puck more often than not, there's a better chance that you're going to manage the puck better, or at least against an offensive team, force them to come to you. And I thought that was an area where the Leafs really did improve on, certainly in this game tonight.
Well, and what it suggests to me as well, Mark, is it's an attention to detail. It shows that the Leafs were committed, I think, in some of the smaller aspects of the game that kind of all add up to whether you're going to have a successful night or not. And, you know, obviously the team that wins the most faceoffs doesn't win every game. But I do think this was a much sharper bunch. Mentally, I think that this was the toughest part for the Leafs after those two losses and everything that comes with it. The speculation, the talk about the team, as James Van Riemsdyk said, the overanalysis. It was important for them to come tonight, I think, and be ready to play and sort of block everything out and give their best effort. And, I thought it was a good game, a good effort from them. It's only one victory at the end of the day, though. And the focus now will quickly turn to kind of putting it behind them and then trying to get a more consistent run going here with Detroit coming on Saturday.
Chris, here's something I don't know. You're going to have to tell me. I know you don't know right now because the media was hustling to get downstairs when the game ended, but it might have been some residue of what's gone on the last couple of days and games with the fans and everything else. So Leafs win the game. You know, we've got a great view up here in the broadcast box, and I always like one of the things that became a tradition a couple of years ago. When you win at home, you skate to center ice, you lift your stick up and salute the fans, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and okay, unless... What I think I saw was a Leaf team that most of them started skating there, acknowledged the fans in some sort. It seemed like one or two were encouraging them just to get off the ice, so they didn't skate all the way to center. They certainly didn't lift their sticks up in salute. And meanwhile, hey, Daniel Winnick came on with us. The three stars all came out, gave out sticks, and JVR was interviewed. Bernier and JVR were available to the media. Another player was on TV being interviewed. But I just found it unusual, and I wondered if you'd heard anything about it or if anyone's commented about it at all.
Well, I did get a text from your super producer there, Matt Brown, and was able to come into the hallway. I didn't get it till after our time in the dressing room, but I did manage to talk to one player, and then he said that they decided to change things up. And, he didn't really elaborate. He did try to suggest that it wasn't meant as a slight towards a fan, so I'm not entirely sure, how to read that situation. I didn't, get a chance to talk to more than one guy to maybe get a better idea of what was behind that. But what's clear is that it was a conscious decision. And maybe it's a superstition thing. Maybe just with the way everything's been, they decided to be low key. But that you what you saw is correct. And also what you saw was something that was a result of a discussion, or maybe someone just yelled it there. I'm not entirely clear, but it's certainly interesting. And for me, you don't want to jump to conclusions, but what's that gesture meant to do? It's meant to thank the fans.
Yeah.
And so when you make a decision not to thank the fans, it's tough to get into the motive there, but the optics of it certainly suggest that maybe after what's gone on here, the Leafs didn't feel like they wanted to be thanking anybody.
Well, but anyway, just to go there, my optics again were, it seemed like it wasn't cohesive because there was a segment that was heading out there, and then there were definitely a couple of guys, one in particular, a veteran guy, that was waving them off. So anyway, I'll leave it for that because everyone else did what's possible. The big thing is the win, but it was just rather it was noteworthy. Chris,
it is, and then you listen, it's been a crazy week here, and we're only at game 20 of the season. The Leafs are officially at 500, having won 10 of their 20 games so far. Two of them they got loser points in, but, this is it's a long year, and then there's already there's a lot in the air, and it was not a very happy Leafs team this week. I think obviously that the players, we heard a lot of talk about how bad they played, how poorly they played, and getting outscored 15-4 in those games. But I know when talking to some of the guys myself privately that that they weren't, they're not happy with the way that, that they're being treated by the fans. They feel that it's almost unfair at times, that they feel that, that kind of the curse of the organization, I guess, is being placed on them. And, you know, I know that a beer can, a full beer can, was thrown on the bench at a couple of the players during the game in Buffalo and exploded on them. So there's a lot going on right now. And you know, I think things will calm down, especially if they keep winning games and maybe, you know, restore some balance here. But, you know, it was a very interesting turn of events.
Chris, you know, you've been around this team for quite some time, and I know this may be an unfair question, as we're all trying to find a level of consistency with these players. But as you have observed in games past and, you know, followed up by a usually after a good effort, they have not been able to consistently follow up with a positive effort. So, you know, Randy said at the end of his press conference that we owe the Red Wings. Anything that you could shed a light on that would give you a good indication of players' reaction after the game, that, again, it's going to be all business come tomorrow in practice and get ready for the Red Wings on Saturday night?
Well, you know, it's proven to be a difficult thing for them. You know, it's tough to put your finger on it, but you almost feel like sometimes there's a sense of satisfaction among this group when they have a good game. You know, the win against Boston last week, a 6-1 win, and you know, you'd think that that would be a building point, but it almost felt like an end point. And, you know, I know it was only a 2-1 loss. I followed it to Pittsburgh, but I didn't think the team played particularly well in that game. And then obviously we know what happened in the two after that. So, you know, what they're really striving for is something approaching consistency. I know it's difficult. There's, you know, a lot of travel. There's a lot of games in this league. It's, you know, again, we see a Tampa Bay team tonight that I think should be among the best at the Eastern Conference when all is said and done. And, that, you know, I didn't think they had a good effort at all. And that's coming off a bad one, as I mentioned earlier, in Long Island. So there are ups and downs for every team in a season. But, you know, for the Leafs, it's of the utmost importance that they give themselves, you know, the chance to win each game. Because, you know, I really think that this is going to be a bubble team right throughout the year. And you know, not throwing away points is extremely important. And, you know, that's where they're going to try to build is playing 5 or 6 or 7 decent games in a row. It doesn't mean you have to win them all, but it's kind of about the process at this point, I think, for the Leafs team.
Well, Chris, thanks as always, and I look forward to talking to you Saturday. Just so you know, Ozzy, myself, Brett, and Matt, we're standing up saluting you as usual with the sticks in the air at center ice, okay? Great effort.
I'm glad to know I'm still being thanked, even if the fans aren't.
That's it. Chris Johnson joining us from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. We'll come back. We'll take a break, come back, Ozzy, and chat more. We'll give you the summary, too, of this game. We've got out-of-town scores. We've got a whole lot of hockey going on. A 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Tim and Sid, so funny, you might pee a little. Luckily, you can listen on the can. Subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
One by the Leafs, and it's shot to an empty net, and scores! Roman Polak sends it the length of the ice.
So that, Ozzy, is Jovan with the call. Roman Polak's goal, the length of the ice, the empty netter. If they didn't have a two-goal differential, that was the one that is considered taboo and selfish. But when you have a two-goal lead, what the heck? Icing wasn't the bad either.
Absolutely.
He walloped it perfectly.
Yep.
He should be at the Canadian National Exhibition or something playing those games.
A couple of bounces, and you might have been able to get it all the way down the ice with your wrist
shot. Wow, this is pretty heady praise from you, yes. Ozzy, a former NHLer. To me, just a stocky broadcast guy. I love it.
Matter of fact, I've never seen you on a pair of skates or handle a puck, so I'm just thinking that you can possibly
Well, we don't really
do
hang out a lot, Ozzy, just whatever. Okay. We work together. I'll bring it down next time. I didn't know. 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Of course, welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. I'll give the Leafs summary out first, Ozzy, then we can banter back and forth with the out-of-town scores. How about that?
Just you don't want me to comment on each of these goals and describe them, or are you just going to...
Yeah, no. Just perfect. Okay. No, yeah, just hold on here. Just give me a second here to get going. David Clarkson. Of course, the play set up by Daniel Winnick, who was our first intermission radio guest. Great hustle to come up with the puck. Clarkson coming off the bench like a matter of seconds at the 129 mark, so even strength goal. Clarkson is 6 from Winnick and Roman Polak, just what the doctor ordered, how to start.
I know, but what you want to add to that is that Winnick won the race for the icing call and picked up the loose puck. So that's just a little bit of a sidebar that I felt was huge for the Maple Leafs and David Clarkson. Wow, 6 goals on the season.
Well, and you know, the other one is Polak gets the assist. He actually had a scoring chance just before that. So in the first minute of play, he was up there in the hustle. So it seemed like everybody was trying to get something done. And then what could have been the backbreaker, a Killorn unassisted goal, shorthanded, fifth of the season, the 18:50 mark. And, you know, talk about Jake Gardner in that play, but that was very deflating for all the energy and karma the Leafs had in the first period.
Well, right before that, Gord, the Leafs were on a 5-on-3 power play for 51 seconds. The Tampa Bay Lightning did a great job killing it off, and then the ill-advised turnover by Jake Gardner in the neutral zone was, you know, kind of that casual approach to the way Jake often is, you know, in managing the puck. And, of course, that was a momentum swinger and builder for Tampa Bay as they headed into the dressing room after one period.
Well, 1-1 tie after one period of play. And then the Duke of Oz, or we call him Kreskin circa 2014, Mark Osborne, parting words at the end of the first intermission. Richard Ponick playing against his old team, Cody Franson's point streak, and where's JVR been? And what do you know, the second period, Leafs get 3 unanswered goals, and all of Mark Osborne's predictions come to fruition. 2:45 mark, Richard Ponick is 4th of the year unassisted.
Well, you know what, and I described this as Matt Carl, the Tampa Bay defender, doing his best Jake Gardner impression, and I don't know what he was thinking, trying to go up the middle on his backhand, and Ponick was able to intercept it and, you know, dekes Ben Bishop out of his 6'7" goal pads, right? Because he's a pretty big fella, right to his backhand. And that was a huge momentum builder for the Leafs in that second period.
No, that was. I mean, Jake's giveaways are a little different. He struggled of late. That was like a. That would be if you saw me on skates and I was in the NHL, I would have given the puck
it
away
was
like that.
Put it this way, it was very casual, the
very
way that he
casual.
Approached it.
Then the James Van Riemsdyk show starts. Even strength goal, the 12:31 mark, his 8th of the season from Tyler Bozak. And yes, Cody Franson extending his point of game streak to 9 consecutive games with what assist on this. That's the current longest active point of game streak in the NHL.
Yeah, and this is where I started to watch that matchup between the Stamkos and Bozak line, where I wasn't sure how it was going to work out for the Maple Leafs. Scored certainly in their own end, as though that threesome is not very good away from the puck. Let's put it that way. You know, the league's top scorer in Steven Stamkos, and yet JVR took advantage of that. Good speed through the neutral zone and a beautiful shot over Ben Bishop's shoulder to put the Leafs up 3-1.
15:15 mark. JVR again on the power play. His 9th of the year from Kessel and Phaneuf. And this is the play that people love to watch him do.
Well, it is. You know what? And Kessel simply got the puck to the net. There was a nice, juicy rebound. And what does JVR do in tight? He's got that wonderful, those wonderful hands and patience. And he just lifted it up ever so gently top shelf. And everybody in the building goes, wow. I mean, look at those hands. And as Randy Carlyle in the post game presser described it, not too many guys can have those kind of hands in tight as JVR does.
So 4-1 lead the Maple Leafs have, little under 5 minutes left in the game. Face off in the Leafs zone. Puck is dropped, and lo and behold, everyone says, wow, Ben Bishop's not in the Tampa Bay goal. They're pulling the goaltender down 3 goals, just under 5 minutes left. And they actually had a pretty active and impressive few minutes, including Steven Stamkos' 13th of the year from Kucherov.
Well, you know what? Tampa Bay can put out a number of players that have great puck possession skills, and they really can throw it around quite a bit. And I think the Leafs were a little bit surprised that the net was empty that early. And yet, when you got guys like Callahan and Palat and Stamkos and Kucherov all on the ice, it was a fortuitous bounce. Comes to Stamkos. He was Johnny on the spot, and that pulled them within 2.
And then the final I mentioned, Roman Polak on the empty netter with 8 seconds left. Nice face-off win by Tyler Bozak, who gets the assist.
Yeah, you know what? I mentioned it already. 22-8 on the night was Tyler Bozak. That's, if I do my calculations correctly, Gord, I think that's around 73% that Tyler Bozak was, if you do
times,
the math.
Okay, times 366, and a third of that would be about 7 1/3. So 70. You're a little bit wrong. 73 and a third. 73.33.
Okay. Well, sorry. I didn't round it off. I didn't round it off.
Well, you were playing hockey in the streets and hanging out. I was taking my math courses in high school. How about that?
Nonetheless, they were fantastic in the faceoff circle, winning 65% on the night. I don't think the Leafs have been that proficient in the faceoff circle in quite some time. 44 wins, 24 losses.
That was the final score, 5-2 for the Leafs. They were outshot 28-21, but under 30 shots is something they don't do all that often. So a great night for the Maple Leafs on the ice at Air Canada Centre. Take a look at our out-of-town scoreboard. Brought to you by Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca. You want help on this, or you think you can?
You know what? I'm going to ask you if you'd like the final game scores or those that are in progress right now. What would you like?
Start with in progress.
Wow, in progress. Wow, yeah. Throw me for a loop. 2 minutes and 50 seconds left in the third period in Dallas. The Dallas Stars lead the Arizona Coyotes 3-1 for Dallas. Klingberg with his first. Cody Eakin has his fourth, as does Jason Spezza. Lauri Korpikoski, his second for Arizona. That game is near its conclusion. Over to you, Gord, in Colorado.
Yeah, Arizona had the 1-0 lead. Dallas, 3 unanswered goals in the second. Meanwhile, Washington, Colorado, 2-2 tie. Nicholas Backstrom is fifth for the Caps. Jason Chimera, his second. Colorado, Daniel Briere, third. Tyson Berry, his second. So that one in the third period tied at 2 apiece.
And move over to Calgary. Quite a barn burner happening at the Saddle Dome. The Blackhawks and Calgary Flames are tied at 3 with about 15 minutes to go in the third period for Chicago. Clendenning with his first, Daniel Carcillo with his second, and Brent Seedberg with his fifth for Calgary. It was Paul Byron with his fifth, Dennis Wideman with his eighth, and Sean Monahan with his eighth. Like I mentioned, Gord, 15 minutes to play in Calgary, 3-3 Chicago and the Flames.
And Brian Burke in the press box here, president of the Flames, has to like they battled back from the 2-0 deficit to tie up the Blackhawks. Meanwhile, Anaheim has a 2-0 lead over the Vancouver Canucks. It looked like Ryan Kessler got a nice cheer, first time back in Vancouver from the Canuck fans. Dan Hamm, who's left the game, looked like a significant injury. We'll, of course, get reports on that, but it's Andrew Cogliano was his third. Ryan Getzlaff with a 6-2 of the mumps-free Anaheim Ducks to put them up 2-0.
And in Los Angeles, with about 8.5 minutes to play in the first period, the Kings are out to a 1-0 lead. Jared Stoll on the power play gets his second of the season for Los Angeles.
Florida up 1-0 on San Jose. They have some players we like, the Florida Panthers. They are playing a bit better of late, and this is one of the guys, Nick Bjugstad. I know we liked him last year when we saw him. He scored 24 seconds in the game, his fifth of the year. They lead San Jose 1-0 in the first.
So let's go on to the final games right now. Minnesota defeated Philadelphia 3-2 for the Wild. Nito Niederreiter with his ninth of the season. Marco Scandella gets his fourth. And the game winner in the third period, Jason Zucker with his sixth of the season for Philadelphia. Mark Streit gets his third, and Claude Giroux with his sixth. Winning goalie for Minnesota, Darcy Kemper gets the win.
You know, we talk about pressure in different places, and Philadelphia every year, isn't this their start? Is there not always panic there? And Ron Hextall, new general manager, and you saw him getting testy. He had one of those sound bites last night, and he apparently went in and read the Riot Act to the team, and when asked about that by media members, he got quite testy as well, which I found strange. I think people actually like to hear the GM reading the Riot Act to the team, but it was interesting. He obviously feeling the pressure.
Well, he certainly is. I mean, one game under 500, and therefore they go down to defeat tonight at home, and so obviously the speech did not.
I guess they probably need Ray Emery to beat up another goalie like he did last year when he took on Braden Holtby in the game against Washington. Boy, they love it in Montreal, the number one team in the NHL. Yes, for all my friends out there being Montreal Canadian fans, I will acknowledge that. They were down 1-0 to St. Louis. Vladimir Tarasenko, his 11th of the year, gave the Blues a 1-0 lead after one. But 4 unanswered Montreal goals. Dale Weiss, Max Pacioretty is 9th and 10th. He leads the NHL in even strength goals over the last calendar year. Max Pacioretty, Lars Eller, his sixth, a 4-1 win for Montreal over St. Louis.
I thought you wanted to give a shout-out to Rick Dudley on his way home back to Buffalo.
Why not?
Montreal assistant GM was here in...
Is he snowed in or not? Is he in the...
No, he's not. He's only got about 4 inches, he told me.
Well, Terry Martin's here, Darcy Regier, all these Buffalo residents, and apparently on one side, they say, like, literally about a half mile from the arena, it's like a wall of snow, like an avalanche. Meanwhile, the other guys around I-90 are getting out okay, but me, the Buffalo Sabre game Friday's been canceled. The football game Sunday's been canceled, but they're fortunate they're on the right side of town.
Yeah, you know what? And Rick looked into that, believe it or not, when he was looking for a house and thought, I wonder where the line is for the snowbound area. Anyways, on to Ottawa. The Senators defeat the Nashville Predators 3-2 for Nashville. Shea Weber on the power play gets his sixth of the season. And Olli Jokinen, wow. Bagels across the board through 18 games this season. No goals, no assists. He replied for Nashville, his first of the season for Ottawa. Bobby Ryan on the power play gets his fifth. Alex Chiasson gets his fifth. And Jared Cowan with the game winner in the second period gets his first of the season.
Yeah, kind of nice flurry. Three goals in about 8 minutes for the Ottawa Senators. Boy, tough one in Winnipeg. The Jets have been playing so well, but it shows the Detroit Red Wings, who will be in town to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. Jets had a 2-0 lead, but ultimately lose 4-3 to the Red Wings in Winnipeg. For the Red Wings, Tomas Tatar scored 2, his 7th and 8th of the season. Also, Johan Frazen is 6th. Justin Abdelkader, his 6th. For the Winnipeg Jets, Dustin Byfuglien is 3rd, Adam Lowry his 2nd, and Matthew Perreault his 2nd. Yeah, yeah. Peter Mrazek playing a goal for Detroit.
Yeah, for Detroit against
Pavlik. I like him. He's a good young goaltender, but I guess we'll get Jimmy Howard and not Gustafson or whatever on
Saturday.
You know
what? And when we were in the media room having our little meal before the game, it was interesting enough to run into Nick Kuhlman and Grabowski's agent, Gaddy
right,
from Los
yeah.
Angeles, right, who also represents Pavel Datsyuk, and Datsyuk not in the lineup tonight for Detroit. And we kind of kidded him and asked him, is Pavel going to be in the lineup on Saturday? He kind of gave a little bit of a chuckle, kind of indication that probably he would return for the Red Wings when they visit the Maple Leafs here at the Air Canada Centre on Saturday night.
Yeah, so who's the agent for? He's got Datsyuk, he's got Kuhlman. So
And Grabo. Yeah, great deal, The team's moving to Brooklyn, and there's some good restaurants
in
Brooklyn.
I know. He researched that with Rick Dudley when they took a look at about joining the New York Islanders, about the move to Brooklyn and the Russian restaurants. So that certainly is something
little
we'll watch.
Things, you know, these
I know,
things are
I
important,
know.
Gordon.
Little things are important. We will we'll be continuing with more Leafs Nation postgame. A number we'll have, of course, be on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and a number of our network stations. Some drop out, so make sure you know you can catch us on sportsnet590.ca. And we'll hear from a lot more of the players, and we'll talk a bit more about was it a snub or what it was about the one quirky, interesting, maybe disconcerting note postgame.
And even what JVR said in his postgame press conference, he says there's a lot of overanalyzing going on around here, right? I mean, how many players often would say that about media or what's been going on the last couple of days? So with social media and all the stuff that's going on, I mean, this has certainly been heightened the last couple of days. So the players are aware of it, and yet, maybe they use that to their a motivating tool for them because, the heat has been on here, no question about it, and yet the team responded in a positive way.
Yeah, and one thing I'll chat with you more about next hour as well, that I know everyone always says they don't, back in, maybe nowadays not as much, but before, I don't read the papers, I don't whatever, but I most guys were aware what was in the papers, what was in the media, and I think they still are, whether they hear it firsthand or secondhand. I just find the social media part, which we're all encouraged to do, and which is a big part of it nowadays, and guys like Joffrey Leupold and a number of guys use it as a way of promoting their brand or doing PR for the team, many, many other things, is a positive. But boy, you get engaged in that stuff. I don't know why an NHL player would.
You start reading all the stuff, and it's not the positive stuff that encourages you. It's the negative stuff. And even if there's 10 positives and one negative, you dwell on the negative.
Well, and behind some gutless person with this anonymity. I mean, I don't know if you get the same thing, but I'm a pretty nice guy, I think. And I'm amazed sometimes about, Brett Soso. Okay, now I'm going to check where your handle. Well, you're probably the one who's skewering me.
I
can't believe someone takes the time out to just basically with expletives just skewer you. These guys would be getting it a million-fold more.
But all the stuff that went on last year with the James Reimer and his wife April, okay? Now, Rimes did not have a very good game in Buffalo, and the same thing kind of popped up again, even after that loss in Buffalo where there was a lot of hate, tweets happening, and that's the unfortunate part of the culture that we live in, especially social media.
Well, we'll come back. It's not social media. We're on the radio. We are talking Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll continue chatting here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Pinnock was able to knock a rebound back and centered in front. That's blocked again. Sprawling the block was Winnick, but it went into the corner. Centered again. Topolov drive. Stopped by Bernier. Another shot. Stopped by Bernier again. And he's got a hold of it.
Little collage of the saves. Jonathan Bernier, let's see, 21 shots on goal. So he stopped 19 of the 21. Some of them of the pretty spectacular or solid garden variety as the Toronto Maple Leafs defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, I don't want to, like, purposely correct you, Gord, but, you know, sometimes it's a little bit confusing reading the postgame summary on these sheets because there's a couple of spots where you think it's against the Maple Leafs or shots that they did have, and yet Jonathan Bernier ended up making
26.
So,
and that's why you're here.
I don't like to do that, but I think I can't let you off the hook all the time.
No, Ozzy, it's okay. So. It's fine. I just don't tweet it out that you corrected.
But a save percentage moved up because of that.
Well, and you know, who was the third star again? I'm thinking JVR, Bernier.
Clarkson.
David Clarkson. That's right. David Clarkson. Hey, boy, you know, you talk about the game as, again, I always talk about that walking to the subway phenomenon. But see, tonight.
Yeah, we kind of missed doing that tonight.
Well, tonight we'd go for a beer, right? So we'd be chatting about the game right now. And David Clarkson's first period, he scores when he's been on for about 1 second. Mm-hmm. The great pass from Daniel Winnick puts it in. And then, boy, he almost had a hat trick in the first period, David Clarkson. He had a really unique David Clarkson first period.
No, he really did. And you know, for any player, when you're able to jump out on the ice in your first shift of a game and score, and you just feel so much better. You almost feel like you can score every shift, believe it or not. Even if you're a third-line guy or just an average Joe, which some of us were when we did play the game. And yet, I then caution you in this respect, because I was saying, okay, now he's starting to do some toe drags, and that's starting to worry me that he's all of a sudden feeling so good about himself, he's going to revert back to his junior days, right? And that's the way that we would always say it to these young guys, is that's a junior move, and you're not going to get away with it. It's going to, in fact, come back to bite you. So, David, a little word of advice, great goal, but keep it simple, right?
Do you think he's listening right now?
He could be.
Okay.
You know, it's about time he's out of the room right now, and he's got some young
kids.
What
else would he do? Of course he'd be listening. Well, he did it earlier this year once. He did the JVR. So same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did, it didn't quite play out like JVR did, but it's nice to see Clarkson having that kind of confidence. And also, I got to tell you, this is a guy we haven't talked about, which has been great because he's been so solid. I think, though, the last three games had been a blip where he'd been the least noticeable. Mm-hmm. He really had. Why it was important he came back with a game tonight, because he'd been a very consistent player in the last three games. He'd been pretty invisible.
Yeah, you know what? Him, JVR, there was a couple of other guys that were noticeably, you know, invisible. And even not even talking to the media. Like, I don't know for you that sound bites were not happening from, you know, JVR wasn't talking, David Clarkson wasn't talking. And so, you know, those two particular guys in general, at least they came back tonight and had some positive performances.
And I mentioned the one guy that's talked the last couple of days. I got to give the credit. I got to give the captain,
yep,
Dion Phaneuf, credit, walking the walk tonight.
He did. You know what? And there's part of, you know, his game tonight that I was observing that he had a little bit of a mean streak in him. I saw him go at Tyler Johnson in the corner to our right over here. Stamkos went into the net pretty hard, and he gave him a little extra shot. And Polak plays that way.
Yeah, he really does.
He really does. And you know, Radis Gudas, you know, the guy on Tampa Bay, the defenseman there, he plays with some bite. And I pointed that out to you. There's a few guys that you really notice that are aggressive, and you wouldn't want to really play against them because you know that they're going to pace you when they can or give you a little shot, a little cross check. And I think if Deion played like that a little bit more, because he's a big man, he's strong, I think he'd be a lot more effective and get a lot more respect, not only in the league, but amongst his teammates. And at least he did it tonight, and that was a positive for
me. You know, and I want to talk about some of the Tampa players as well, because you mentioned about some of them being underrated in that. But I also want to throw in the mix Stephen Robidas. And he played 16:44, so he's never going to play the Phaneuf minutes or the Franzen or Pollock minutes. I think they figured out after two broken legs to bring him along rather slowly, or not, you know, not slowly, but just not quite those kind of extreme minutes. He was plus one tonight. And I know he's a guy, it's hard to be a new player and be a leader and be embraced by your teammates when you're new to the team. But he seems to have had the guy that guys listen to on the team. And I thought a solid game tonight. He tried to be a little bit physical, too. It's not really his style in that, but I thought all in all he had a solid game.
No, he really did, Gordon. And that's part of the intangibles that I think the Leafs looked at and saw in, you know, Stefan Robidas, is that they're giving him time. They're giving him some rope. He brings stuff into the dressing room, his work ethic. And, again, it's an adjustment for him to come to this organization and come to this team where if you've played in a more structured environment, if you're a stay-at-home defenseman, and now you come here and you know that, man, that's a work in progress. It's been a work in progress for this organization for many, many years to be defensively minded and structured and sound. And it then becomes a difficult thing, I think, to make the adjustment into. And yet, I think both for him and Roman Pollock, they are trying to instill that level of consistency and playing with some jam without the puck. And, you know, it's 20 games for Stefan Robidas, and yet I can see glimpses of him starting to improve by you know, small margins.
On the Tampa Bay Lightning side, because so much is about a guy like Steven Stamkos, a guy like Victor Hedman, who's injured right now, a guy like Cedric Paquette, who unfortunately is injured as well, but was one of those call-ups that really played well due to other injuries. But they're the second team after the Montreal Canadiens with most points around the National Hockey League. So there's obviously some depth there. And you got a couple of guys that you like on that team.
Well, there's a number of guys I do really like. I mean, you talked about Andre Palat. I mean, I feel that one day he might, in fact, be up for a Selke Trophy nomination because he sees the ice very well. His positional play is outstanding. What's not to like about Tyler Johnson in year number two, Gore, the Calder Trophy nominee last year, so he fits into that mold. Nikita Kucherov, he was quite visible out there tonight as well. And so, you know, there's a group of those players. And I mentioned that Valeri Filppula, who, you know, was in the Red Wing organization, Steve Yzerman knew him very, very well. That was a very astute signing for Tampa Bay and Steve Yzerman because, again, he's a very smart player, makes things happen in the offensive zone, and, again, on the other side of the puck is very responsible defensively. So all-around players is you know, seems to be the what Tampa Bay is all about and what they're looking for in an all-around type of game with John Cooper behind the bench.
Yeah, absolutely played that style. I know it wasn't their kind of game they wanted tonight, and one caller made that clear to try to get some perspective the other way for Toronto Maple Leaf fans that are rather jubilant with the 5-2 win this evening. But we talked about Stefan Robidas, and he was one of the guys that came out along with Dion Phaneuf last game to talk the media under the most adverse circumstances. Here he is a little bit after tonight's 5-2 win. Okay, we'll try to get Stefan Robidas up in a second. I thought we had him, so we'll take the break and come back. How about that? Get some tape that are going on. We've got Randy Carlisle. I want to hear from the Maple Leaf head coach and find out some of the other players after the 5-2 victory tonight. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Joe Bowen, who does the play-by-play along with Jim Ralph with the final call, the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning as he welcomes you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Mike Zeisberger from the Toronto Sun back up from covering and chatting downstairs to talk about the game. So you were humming and singing that great rendition of Leafs Are the Best that Ozzy was part of the chorus there in 1993. So
I'm not sure why he brings that up on a regular basis, Gord. You know, like he just, I don't get it. But it must have been the Burnsy Hall of Fame induction that reminded him of those days, right? Burnsy on his Harley and Zeiss was there too, right?
All I'm saying is, I mean, you know, you're a multitasker. You could do more than just play. Now, I will correct myself. I did bug you earlier today by saying, you know, the Leafs gave up 9 goals the other night.
Yeah.
That was the first time they'd given up 9 goals on home ice until I think it was January 14th, 1991. They lost 9-3 to the Sabres. I looked at the roster for that year, and I said, Ozzy, you were in the building for both of those. Yeah. In fact, you were on the ice for the Leafs that year. And they said, no. You said, no, you were traded before that. So, obviously, the Leafs had smartened up.
Wasn't there another game where they went into Pittsburgh and lost by...
Yeah, another debacle.
I mean, wasn't it
well.
Like 12-1 or something? Like Joe Bowen was telling me
well,
that
no, it was
before
just,
the game.
It was just before the Doug Gilmore trade.
Exactly.
They lost 12-1. And on Boxing Day 1991, they were 1-9-1 in 11 games ringing in the new year. And Cliff Fletcher made the trade for Calgary to bring Doug Gilmore, Jamie McCowan on company.
But anyways, I was proud to say, no, I was not part of that team.
But
I was
they
only
traded
part of
you away, then how the heck did you get back?
Then I got traded back, Size. Figure it out.
They couldn't do without that singing voice, I guess.
And you got traded back. Were you in the Ty Domi trade?
No, sorry. Sorry, Gord. I wasn't part of that one. It was, believe it or not, with Lucien Deblois.
That's right.
So there you go. Who do you think won that trade?
I would say the Toronto Maple Leafs did
anyways.
The second time around. So, okay. So all kidding aside, and I brought up this quirky thing that I know you didn't see. Chris Johnson didn't see it. We chatted with him earlier and because the media are heading down right at the end of the game. But it was unusual that the Leaf team, and Chris did ask a player after, that they did not do the usual salute that I've seen every time in the Air Canada Center the last number of years. It's kind of a fun way when the game ends and people skate out with the banner. And they went and kind of acknowledged, started skating towards center ice, and then they just went off. So they didn't lift their stick up, and it seemed like one or two guys were directing them to come off. They did everything else. The three stars all came out. They passed sticks to people in the crowd. JVR was interviewed. A defenseman was on the TV coverage. We had Daniel Winnick in the first intermission. Guys came out to talk to the media. It just was it seemed like there was a little bit of rub back towards the fans is what I might read into it, or some people might read into it.
If that's the case, I personally think that is not a battle that you're ever going to win. I don't condone fans throwing the jerseys on the ice at any time. Certainly not the idiot that did it while the play was going on. But, you know, when there's a stoppage in play, there seem to be some people that say, what's the difference between if a guy gets a hat trick and throws the hat on the ice and a jersey on the ice?
But wait, all this angst is because one jersey went on the ice?
I don't know.
It's like the song,
here's what I know. They lost
jersey.
They lost 9-2.
Yeah.
They lost the last two games 15-4.
Understood.
Is the city that puts them in the spotlight and puts them on pedestals supposed to just say, oh, well, that's just a blip?
No, absolutely not. I think the attention has been quite extensive, to say the least, right? Because of the last two games. And again, we all know that it's not just the two games. I mean, this is part and parcel of the meltdown last year.
Yeah.
The loss in Boston and the one
the
playoff.
The meltdown the year before in the playoffs,
right.
And
so
then
there's
meltdown.
There's a lot of things, right? Yeah. So when this happens, and Zeiss, you know that, it's not the fact is that they have lost a few games. It's the bounce back from the Buffalo game, and it's how they have lost, you know, 6 out of 8 games with a lack of passion and a lack of compete that drives everybody crazy.
And look, here's the thing. It's easy for me to sit there, even though I've done this for a fairly long time, and watch what's going on and say, you know what, these guys aren't busting their butts. They're not playing hard. But you know what, and I understand when – especially players or ex-players say, well, you didn't play. How can you possibly say that? Well, you know what? Mark Osborne did play. okay? And he sees that. And I think that is an endorsement to that whole argument that these guys did not bust their butts the last two games out. And, you know, it's like I did a column today, and look, going into yesterday for today, and my whole point was, yeah, you know what, the coach is going to be the fall guy. He's always going to be the fall guy, and there's reasons that you can say, okay, Randy could be better in that. Well, let me ask you, did Randy all of a sudden learn how to coach in the last 48 hours? I mean, it's one thing if you're losing because of X's and O's. It's another thing if you don't see guys busting their butts, yep. Okay? And, you know, I may not agree with what Ron Wilson came out and said about the fans and yada, 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 the last two games, the last 2 days and slagging them. But some of the core of this team, they played under Ron Wilson and Brian Burke. They played under Randy Carlyle and Dave Nonis. And now you have people saying, okay, that's got to change. So what evidence is there that this core, with under a third general manager and a different general manager and a third different coach, all of a sudden are going to rocket them to the promised land, okay? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't see the evidence of that. I think it's up to the players. It's one thing if you're outplayed. It's another thing if you're outworked.
You're not trying to sell me some property that I'm going to buy. Believe me. No. Believe me, Size. I'm right there with you.
And, you could use some new skin products. Throw out
I could use some Rogaine.
Okay, so here's the thing, okay, is all this is good hockey talk, okay?
Yep.
But the last couple of days, what's interesting, how things have changed. Because I did some research while Ozzie's playing shinny with his buddies here for the game. So here they're talking about Randy Carlyle's job being on the line. And Dave Nonis had a good line saying, look, we just want to go back to how we played last Wednesday against Boston. So I did the last three surprise firings, say, of a Leaf coach during the season. Doug Carpenter in 1990-91. Agreed? They had a great season. Yeah. They were 1-9-1 to start the season. They got better when they traded Ozzie to Winnipeg, but it was too late to save Doug Carpenter's job. then you had, in 2006, Pat Burns. And we knew Pat had given up the ghost because they lost 8 games in a row, that final one in Colorado. Then you go back to Ron Wilson a few years ago. He's lording his contract extension at Christmas. Okay, and then they were 1-9-1 in 11 games before they fired in Montreal. So I always thought that you couldn't, history said you couldn't fire Randy Carlyle based on that small snippet. But then, like, the last 48, 72 hours, it's just
been crazy.
But that's just the way of the world nowadays. It just is. And that's why the guys like Nonis and Shanahan have to ride the course like they did and just chill and keep their perspective.
And it's interesting because, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here because we've all established that, this is not the time to do a move like that. But then you hear some of these candidates, Dan Bylsma, he won a cup. He won a cup with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Kunitz, Letang. We could go down the list. A lot of people think that he should have won more with that cachet of players. Mike Babcock... he wants to be one of the highest paid, if not probably he wants to be the highest paid coach. He also wants to win. Mm-hmm. Is there anything he saw in that 9-2 game the other day that suggests to him that he wants to win? So that's something that people have to keep in mind, It's not the grass isn't always greener. And if you're going, if you're going to bring another guy in, or let a coach go, you better be damn sure that you have the replacement that you want in place.
Yeah, without a question, Zeiss. And, when you're talking about Mike Babcock, and the fact remains, Red Wings win again tonight without Datsyuk in the lineup.
Yep.
6-1-2 they are without him in the lineup. So, Mike Babcock and the Red Wings and that entire organization, this just hasn't been a short term, this is the way we play Red Wing hockey. This has been this has happened over the course of time for many, many years, right?
You know what? For me, last year we looked at this. The Red Wings are an aging team. Where are the youngsters that they always seem to produce off that assembly line in Grand Rapids? And all of a sudden, none of us thought that Nyquist or Tatar would play the way that they did. And now all of a sudden you look at this team and Zetterberg and Datsyuk are exchange periods where they're hurt, and these two kids have come in and just taken over. And the fact remains, the Red Wings way is they play a certain style. They leave guys on the farm until they're very, very good at playing that style, and then they bring them in. And look what happens. I mean, like you said, Ozzie, look at the record they got right now without Pavel Datsyuk. And last I checked, he's not bad.
But at the end of the day, Gordon, and you can take over from here, but, you know, as we assess – no, as we assess the team in all reality,
yeah.
this is nothing personal. I mean, we've been there. No. We've done it. We've watched. We've experienced a lot of things with this particular group and this organization is that do they have some real good players? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do they have a good starting goaltender? We would say we've got to tip the hat that Bernier can develop and
yep.
be a real good goaltending. Goaltender. The question is leadership, and does this team have the necessary leadership to take this group of players to the next consistent level and be a force to be reckoned with? And I think, unless I'm wrong, and they need to prove us all wrong, that we are not buying it until it does occur on a consistent level. You tell me if I'm seeing a difference. You're in the dressing room more than I am, so I'm not questioning every single one of those players as far as, you know, who they are, because they do care. They talk about their chemistry, and yet you've got to be able to mature and put all the whatever behind you in this city, because this is a great place to play. So don't give me the Ron Wilson rigmarole that you're too hard on these players here, because I don't buy
That was my next thing, was I meant to say with after all that so over the last 48, 72 hours, not only is it crazy, but Brian Burke's memory is to call you guys pukes in the media, and then Ron Wilson is to trash the fans. Like, unbelievable. Like, really, you know, like I mean, going so many different ways that way, it's just really been an unbelievable 72 hours in people's perspective of it. And then tonight, just a little quirky thing I'm saying. To me, if they decide to snub the fans, that's not good leadership. That's not, to me, not good leadership.
And it's interesting bringing that up, Gord, because afterwards, when JVR was up on the podium, he kind of talked a little bit about, you know, how crazy things were, and, you know, how the fans overreact.
Overanalyzing
in this town. And that is, should this come as a surprise? I mean, you know, one stinker is okay. You get a mulligan. Two stinkers in a row, and you start going, wait a minute, something's going on here. Okay? And you know what? I go back to one of your teammates, Doug Gilmore, who said, you know, if you play in Toronto and you understand the marketplace, if you wanted to, you'd never have to buy another meal in this town. And you look at the way that this city looks at a Wendell Clark. You would look at his stats. You would think this guy should be in the Hall of Fame. You look at his stats. Not bad. Nowhere near that. But he got it, okay? His interaction with the fans and the way he played. Doug Gilmore, you would have thought he played here for 15 years. He played just for over five.
So then let's make the comparisons of interaction with the fans. So then who are the comparables on this team that would exemplify those type of guys that people fell in love with here? We love the way that Phil Kessel can score goals. You know, there are things about JVR that we like, Jonathan Bernier. But none of those guys. Joffrey Lupo probably would be,
but you're talking,
close.
Yeah,
and
right?
And Dion Phaneuf is a polarizing player, but he takes being a stand-up captain seriously. But as far as Darcy Tucker, Gary Roberts, I mean, those kind of guys, even a Ty Domi who could be, you know, whatever. Just that it's, but that's part of not making the playoffs. You don't develop guys. You don't develop a winning element, and that I think that little bit goes part and parcel.
But Gord, I was listening, you know, for those of us in the building on Friday night against Pittsburgh, and the ovation that Matt Sundin got, and I just what struck me immediately is you never really appreciate something until it's gone. Yep. For so many years, that guy was such a consistent, high level player, and I never thought that he ever got the recognition or the full love of the fans. It was like, yeah, he gets 95 points every year. He should get 110. Yeah, but he got 95 points every year. And, you know, I think now, when you see the way that this team plays, or when you're talking about what maybe is lacking, who to compare it to, you know, Mats came out every night after the games. He might not say too much, but he acted like the leader. And, you know, maybe part of that is that they did make the playoffs back then.
Well, but the other one, to go back to whether it's to Ozzie's day or a lot of days, it used to irk me about the argument about the pressure to play here, because it could also be the best city. Meanwhile, Montreal would tell you, we don't allow our players to lose. So they would put this incredible pressure to on their team, and they believe they this is going back a bit, but even currently, help them win all those Stanley Cups, right?
But you turn that pressure into a positive. You turn that into a positive. So what happened against Buffalo on Saturday night, you would darn right make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I told you this, Gord, after they lost that Buffalo game, that, you know what, they should be having a skate the next day and not having a day off, because we would have been having one of those no-puck practices, and that would have got the message through and loud and clear.
But let me ask you this, guys. Is it any different than if you're a baseball player and you play for the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees, or a football player that plays for the Dallas Cowboys? I talked to Jason Spezza a couple of weeks ago, and he says he listens to talk radio on the way to practice because they're not talking about hockey like when he was in Ottawa and everything's in the limelight. And he said, it's incredible because the National Football League, you only play one game a week. So there is 6 days of talk radio. I mean, we're talking filling 2 or 3 days between hockey games.
Yeah.
6 days. And they dissect every little thing. Are you telling me that there's less pressure being a Dallas Cowboy than there is?
One of my favorite ones, and this game, this sport, Purdue plays every day. So when I was in New York, and WFAN was the first station. The fan wasn't even on the air here yet. I listened to it, and Mike and the Mad Dog, you know, in the afternoon, they abused Don Mattingly so much that he finally had to come in studio. They just beat him up and beat him up and beat him up till he finally came in studio for an hour, you know. And this is an icon in New York and now a manager. Yep. But it's been an emotional week. Given after the win against Boston and the decent effort against Pittsburgh wasn't expected when they went into Buffalo, and maybe everyone will just chill and maybe retool their perspective.
Yeah, you know what? So are we going to talk to Zeiss at all about the game?
Or we got to get we're off the air in about a minute.
What game?
We can read it. Read it.
Well, you know they won.
Okay.
Read it in the Toronto Sun tomorrow, Oz, if you want to find out. Didn't
okay,
you watch
I will.
It?
Oh no, they have a thing like the internet. They got the internet now, Gordy.
Oh, that's right.
You can actually see it now.
Okay, tweet it out.
Which also, the internet also allows you to see Ozzy and the Leafs are the best, better than all the rest.
Oh, I know. They were. See, that's right. You got to see that. It's maybe you don't. But anyway, if you're desperate. If you can't sleep.
You don't.
If you can't sleep, go see the Leaf video. Oh, Leafs
no,
are the
no.
best.
If you watch it, you won't sleep.
So, okay. So we'll look forward to your coverage in the Toronto Sun tomorrow, as we always do, Mike, okay?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Mike Zeisberger of the Toronto Sun joining us. It's been an interesting couple of games. We've been at the studio for, we've been at Air Canada Centre for these two, so sort of front and center on the firing line, I guess. And what do you think by Saturday? Do you think there's going to be stability, normalcy, or do we need another solid effort? That's where we're going to watch.
We're going to see if there's going to be that solid effort, because based on what happened yesterday in practice, it was a hard practice. There were some push-ups involved. I mean, Randy elected to give them an optional skate this morning. And again, you know, one thing that we've learned about this team is the lack thereof of consistency. Can they follow it up with a good effort tonight, now carried over to Detroit, who Randy said, by the way, it's payback time. Okay,
yeah.
So I heard that loud and clear. Let's see what team shows up on Saturday night. I don't know who's going to show up on Saturday night.
Well, and the other problem, it goes back to what we talked about, it is they've had these abysmal performances from time to time, which you want to be fewer and further between, but don't have them at home anymore. Mm-hmm. They've all been at home. You go back to the final home game against the Winnipeg Jets last year, Detroit, Pittsburgh, you name it, Boston, so far this year. Then the other night against Nashville here, that's four. Buffalo, the fifth one of the season, is really a home game because it was in Buffalo. So let's hope they put it behind them. We'll be back. Of course, the game will be on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, this Saturday. I want to say thanks for listening. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Tampa Bay Lightning. We got your keys to the game. You got it all, Oz. We know you.
Yeah, you know, two games in a row. I do my keys for nothing. We
score
don't even
first.
Go over
what
them
else? Already. Quick. Score
I
first.
I don't even remember now.
Score first and win. Those were two of his
keys.
Yeah,
and Stamkos.
And yeah, neutralize
like
Steven
that, right?
Stamkos.
Did I not say that?
What's the other one?
I don't know. Gord, I'm tired right now.
Okay. We'll have him on
work
Friday.
Ethic.
Work ethic. It was all good.
Yeah.
Our
good.
Our
it's
work
better.
Ethic's waning right now. Anyways. So we'll say goodnight from Sportsnet 590, The Fan.